98% of us would want to be told if we were found to be carrying a gene linked to some kind of serious underlying health condition. That's the results according to a study of 7,000 people that was carried out by Anna Middleton from the Sanger Institute. Now, these findings are important because by 2017, 100,000 people just in the UK will have had their genome sequenced. And as researchers probe and pick their way through that genetic information, then genes associated with certain diseases are going to come to light. And I suppose, Anna, that people all around the world are also being sequenced in much the same way. So we have a big volume of data being assembled and we have a big question as to what we're going to do with it.
Yes, absolutely. And people around the world are taking part in genetic and genomic research, and labs in universities across the world have thousands of samples belonging to research participants. And it's only really relatively recently that we've been starting to think, well, should we be actually feeding back data to those people that gave the samples to start with?
Is that really what motivated you to do the study? We're generating a lot of data and there isn't really a policy or any kind of precedent in place as to how to handle it.
Yes, I guess traditionally there's been quite a disconnect between the research participant and the researcher, and maybe the research participant has given their sample, handed it over to research, and the researchers just get on with it. And it's only been, so recently we started to think, well, actually there's an awful lot of health related data in there. Should we be more connected to the research participant and thinking, you know, think about sharing some of that?
I suppose one of the big questions with anything genetic is that whilst I personally may want to know genetically what my risk profile is, I have two parents. I have brothers and sisters potentially. If they are who I think they are in terms of their relationship to me, once I know something about me, I actually know something about them too. And yeah, there's an ethical consideration there.
Yeah, absolutely. And so any data that would be shared should be done in a clinical environment with suitably prepared and trained health professionals who can deliver that information and think about the impact on the individual, but also their family and their children and their parents and their siblings.
Do people realise that, though, when they go for a genetic test or when they answer things like your questionnaire? You surveyed 7,000 people. Would you like to know if you have a risk of some kind of underlying disorder? Were they conscious of that consideration? Because I must admit, until I began to think about your work and the questions you're asking, I hadn't really thought about it from that perspective.
Yeah, we were very aware of needing to explain this really carefully. And so what I did was I worked with a filmmaker to create 10 short films that sit within our survey. And the films describe the ethical issues raised by genomics. And they explain, you know, this data is relevant to lots of different people. Do you still want to know? And what we found was that people just actually felt quite excited by genomic data. They felt that it could have some value for them in protecting their health. It could be useful to them, and they wanted to be part of the research process.
We did a little sort of mini survey on a very small audience, not the 7,000 you looked at a live event we ran in Cambridge, actually with David Spiegelhalter, who is Professor of the Public Understanding of Risk at Cambridge University. And he asked the audience, okay, if you could be told how long you're going to live for, would you like to know? Now, all the kids in the audience said, absolutely, I want to know when I'm going to die, therefore how long I've got. All the adults in the audience said no. And he said, isn't it interesting that when you're little and things seem very far away, you want to know the absolute black and white scenario, but as you get older, you're much more comfortable embracing a bit of risk.
Actually, we found something different. So we did actually look at lots of different age profiles, and we found that the young and the old were just as interested in data. But where we did find a socio-demographic difference was between men and women. And we found that men, irrespective of where they lived in the world, were more likely to want access to more data. And it was actually the women who were more cautious and said, actually, you know, I'd like to know some things, but not others. Like uncertain data, no, not interested in that.
Will there be, off the back of your study, some kind of framework put in place then so that when we do research and we take a sample from somebody, that we do have some kind of ethical obligation or some kind of relationship going forward with them where we can pass on information?
Yeah, I mean, the findings of our research hopefully will be adopted into policy. And what we've actually found is that although people say they want data, they also put a value on that data. So they don't actually expect it to be delivered to them at all costs. So we did say that in a research setting, if the research question and answering that was devalued or compromised in some way by having to provide data to you, would you still want to know? And people said, no, focus on answering the research question or forgo our data. So focus on doing good quality research first.
98% is a very high number, isn't it? Were you surprised?
Very surprised, yeah. I was expecting far more people to say, no, not interested in this. And it just shows that people had a perceived value of the importance of genomic data. And whether that is real or not is something else, but they thought there was something useful they could do with it.
Anna. Thank you very much. Anna Middleton from the Wellcome Trust Sanger Institute, and her research was published in the European Journal of Human Genetics.